So take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter number 4. I know that we've been studying through the book of Matthew, and it's just been something on my heart, a thought, a passage that has been on my heart. And in reading this book, Gentle and Lowly, by the way, if you haven't picked one of these up, pick one up, and it's been a huge blessing to me. It's Gentle and Lowly, The Heart of Christ for Sinners and Sufferers. It's given me some new perspective and some new thoughts about how God loves His people. And it has inspired me to think about Jesus Christ, His love, His compassion, and His forgiveness. What a blessing to know that as a child of God, that when we sin, instead of being pushed away from God, it draws us to Him. Instead of pushing His heart away from us, it causes our heart to long, His heart to long for us, to draw us to Him. Like the book talks about a dad who has a child who's laying in the hospital sick. Does the fact that that child has a disease and is dying, does that cause that father's heart to be hardened towards that child, or does it make that father's heart long to help that child and to love that child more? Well, we're infected by sin, and the disease that we have in our lives is sin. And so when sin begins to come out in us, instead of pushing God away from us, He desires to help us more. So that's that thought that's been on my mind. And to think about that truth and that blessing and the knowledge that we have of Jesus Christ and His love for us and how He longs to redeem us from the curse that is in us. And so as we think about that and we think about that knowledge of who Christ is and His love for us, been thinking about how many in this world, they don't understand that. They don't understand the love and forgiveness and hope that can only be found in Jesus Christ. They don't understand that in Christ we have the promise of no condemnation. They don't understand that in His presence is fullness of joy. The world doesn't know the peace that passes all understanding. They don't know what it's like to be at peace with God. What I want to talk about today and take a few moments to consider is how that we as a church have been given this understanding. You as a member have been given an understanding of the love, joy, peace, hope, forgiveness, and mercy of God. And, you know, if we took the time, we could make a longer list of all the benefits that we have of being a child of God. The things that we know, the world doesn't. So not only have you been given that understanding, but as we're going to read in our text, then we're going to see that Paul understands that he is a minister of these things and a steward of the gospel of the mysteries, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the mysteries of God. We have been made stewards of the mysteries of God. Today I want us to understand that the gospel of the kingdom is in your hands. The gospel of the kingdom has been given to us. And God called upon His church to be stewards of the mysteries of God, to be His mouthpiece, to be the dispensary of truth. So as members of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, the church which Jesus built, we need to realize what a gift we have been given to be stewards of the mysteries of the gospel. So Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. He said, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me is a very small thing that I Well, I'll go ahead and read it. But with me is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. But I just want to take today just to expound upon being stewards of the mysteries of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer today, Lord, as we consider all of your benefits that you've given to us, the blessings of being a child of God, the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, a hope that we understand that the world does not know. Our hearts are overwhelmed. We stand in awe. We wonder, how could you love us the way that you do? But today we're thankful. God, we don't know the reasons why that you chose to make us stewards of the mysteries of the gospel. I pray that you will stir our hearts to love your gospel more. And that we will understand and have a sense of what it means to be a minister of that gospel. Understand what a gift it is to have this opportunity to know and to share the mysteries of God, the mysteries of the gospel. Stir our hearts today, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Now, initially, we want to talk about the context of this passage, and Paul is making his defense of his ministry. And he's establishing the value of his ministry to the Corinthians because the Corinthians were always questioning Paul. In the preacher's homiletical commentary, it says this: the preceding sentences, or the end of chapter number 3, have been concerned with the Corinthian habit of overvaluing themselves and with their party idolatry of their leaders. As for Paul, he wishes neither to be overestimated nor to be underestimated. And so Paul is addressing the division that is in Corinth because of of who they want to follow. And Paul is defending himself as an apostle in this passage. The value of his ministry is that he is an apostle. And because he is an apostle, he has been made a steward of the truth of the Word of God, a steward of the mysteries of God. What we want to understand today is this stewardship of the mysteries of God did not end with the apostles. The apostles were placed in the church first. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 28. And then Paul also informs the church in Ephesus that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles. So we know the apostles were the first members of the church. And then the church began to grow upon the foundation of the apostles. And so we understand as the church came into existence and it began to grow, that the church is an extension of the work of the apostles. What the apostles began, the church continued on. And so the church, we understand, is a mechanism through which Jesus Christ has chosen for his work to continue. If you remember, he said, "And lo, I'm with you always, speaking to the church, even to the end of the age or the end of the world." And so we understand that the church is the mechanism that Jesus Christ has chosen to do his work. And so if the apostles were stewards of the mysteries of God, then so too is the church. So today we want to get a hold of the fact that as one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches, we are stewards of the mysteries of God and ministers of Christ. God's design for the church is that it is a local visible body of baptized believers united in their confession of faith, baptized under the authority of Jesus Christ, committed to continuing the work which Jesus Christ commissioned it to perform. That's why you're a member here. You understand, this is the church that Jesus established. This is the church that when he said, "I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it," here it is today. We're a local visible body of baptized believers We are united together in our faith in Jesus Christ. We have been baptized under the authority of Jesus Christ. And together we are committed to continue the work which Jesus Christ commissioned the church to do. So that commission, if you go to Matthew 28, which we're not going to turn there today, but what does that commission involve? It involves teaching all nations or discipling. It involves baptizing. And then it involves teaching them to observe all things. And so by accomplishing these, by teaching all nations, by discipling, by baptizing, by observing the things which Jesus has taught, by doing all of those things, we are being stewards of the mysteries of God. When we put into practice the principles that are taught in the Word of God, we are individually being a steward of the mysteries of God. We are corporately being stewards of the mysteries of God. And as we go out and share that truth with a lost and dying world, we are being ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why as a church we talk about discipleship and the need for us to disciple one another and for us to disciple others. Our desire as a church is to instill in the members of our church the need to and the ability to walk according to the mysteries of the gospel. It's not just knowledge that you have in your head, but you make application to your life. You are discipled into being a follower of the teacher's teachings of Jesus Christ. That's why we are so careful with our baptism. Because baptism is a picture of the gospel. We don't just baptize anyone, and we don't let anyone become a member of, just anyone become a member of the church. They have to be baptized, and their baptism has to be a proper baptism in order to become a member, because this church is a steward of the mysteries of the gospel. And since the gospel, baptism is a picture of the gospel, we want to make sure that baptism is correct, because we are being a steward of the gospel. Only those who have received baptism according to the plan outlined in God's Word can become members of the church. And so in order to protect the picture of baptism, we baptize those who desire to become a member of the church. The protection of the baptism has nothing to do with the individual believer. And it has all to do with protecting the picture and being a steward of the gospel, the mystery of the gospel. We ask questions like, have you been born again? No, you can't be baptized before you're born again. We understand that baptism is a picture of the burial, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we practice immersion. We ask someone who is a candidate, are you trying to gain favor with God? Are you trying to be saved by being baptized? And then we might ask the question, who gave the church to baptize, if it's someone that has already been baptized? Well, who gave that church the authority to baptize? Where does that authority come from? And we understand that authority has been passed down through the ages, through the churches. And so we're very careful about baptism, because it is a picture of the gospel. We don't just baptize flippantly, just whoever wants to come down the road can come and be baptized. No, it's a serious picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we protect it because we are stewards of the mysteries of the gospel. We're not just doing whatever we feel like because we feel like doing it. No, we're doing it because we're stewards of the mystery. But that's also why we expect the members of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church to observe the teachings of Scripture. Because teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. Part of being a steward of the mysteries of the gospel is putting into practice and observing what you have been taught. Remember this, the life of a believer is a picture of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. When you go into the water of baptism, you're making a profession of faith that I'm dead to sin. I have been born again, and my old man is dead, and I'm not going to walk according to the old flesh any longer. But I'm raised to walk in newness of life. I am raised to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm raised to be a follower of Jesus. And the life of a believer is a picture of the resurrection power of Jesus, because There's nothing else that can change a heart and cause one to follow Christ so closely if not for the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection of power of Jesus Christ that gives the believer the ability to follow Christ. The mystery of the gospel is pictured. A dead sinner is made alive. The believer receives a new birth, and they are raised to walk in a newness of life. And so, a resurrected life is the result of a new birth. And when you walk with Christ, when you're walking in newness of life, the power of the gospel is displayed. So each time the church observes the ordinances, whether it be baptism or the Lord's Supper, she is being a steward of the gospel. In baptism, you're giving a picture of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the Lord's Supper, you're celebrating the resurrected Lord. You're being a protector of the gospel. You're being a steward of the gospel. And that's why the ordinances are so important, because of the picture of the gospel. So when you observe those, that's why as a church member, you ought to want to be present when a baptism takes place, and you ought to want to be present when the Lord's Supper is observed, because you are practicing and a stewardship of the gospel. And so Paul is mentioning here in Corinthians how that he's a steward of the mysteries of God and a minister of the gospel. And if we're going to think about how the church continues on that ministry of the apostles, we want to understand what a steward is. What is a steward? What is meant by being a steward? Well, steward is the house manager. In Robertson's word pictures, he has this to say. The steward was a slave under his lord, but a master over the other slaves in the house. He was an overseer of the rest. And so he was responsible to care for the household, the operation of the household, and the money of his master. He was responsible for all of the household of the master. They were to care for the possessions of the master of the household. That's what a steward is responsible for. You go back to Luke 16, and I really don't want to read the entire thing, but maybe I just hit a little highlight here. You understand the story here that's given to us about the unjust steward. Luke 16:1, and it says, "And he said unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same accused of him that he had wasted his goods. And so this steward, this one that had been put in responsibility of the possessions of the master. There came a time when the master came to him and said, give an account of your stewardship. What have you done with the possessions of my house? And so the steward was responsible to properly care for the possessions of the man of the house. So I want you to get a hold of this. Going back to 1 Corinthians 4. Paul says that he is a steward of the mysteries of God. And we understand by extension, as the church, we are stewards of the mysteries of God. And just like the parable of the unjust steward in Luke 16, when the steward had to give an account of his stewardship, Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is going to give an account of her stewardship of the gospel. How has she handled the gospel of Jesus Christ? Has she kept the gospel of Jesus Christ pure? Has she continued to preach the faith that was once delivered to the saints? How have the members of Emmanuel Baptist Church put that gospel into practice in their life? Have they continued to observe all things? We're all going to give an account of our stewardship. You're a member of the church. What have you done as a member of the church to steward the gospel of Jesus Christ? What have you done to observe the gospel of Jesus Christ and to put it into practice in your life? We want to understand that we're going to give an account of our stewardship one day, because we have been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says that he is a minister of Christ. That word minister is the term under rower. And to put that in mind, you think about the ancient ships, you think about the rowers out the side of the ship. You know, you see those old ships with the oars. Well, the under rower was the lowest. The one was out on the lowest deck. And he was the one that everything that come from the top came down to him as he's there doing his rower. He's the least of all servants. And that's what that word minister means. And when Paul says, I'm a minister of Christ, I'm the under rower, the bottom level rower, the lowest of all workers, that's who Paul understood himself to be. Even though considered the least of all servants, the ministers of the mysteries of God have a position of dignity as stewards of those mysteries. Because even though we're the least of all servants, remember, it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. The world thinks we're fools for surrendering our lives to Christ. The world thinks we're fools by following the principles and precepts written in the Word of God. The world may think we're fools, but we have a position of a dignity. Because what might seem to be the least of all duties is actually the greatest. Why? Because we are ministers of the mysteries of God. This is what I really want you to get a hold of today. You have been given the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God have been revealed to you. And you have been given the responsibility to preserve those mysteries. God has chosen the mysteries of what He's doing in this world, both in what He's done in the past and what He's doing in the future. He has chosen to reveal it unto you and place it at your disposal. His greatest gift of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and hope and peace, He has placed it at your disposal. Here's my gift. I'm giving it to you. You're a steward of that gift. To the point I want you to hope to make clear today that as the church of the living God, you are stewards of the mysteries of God. You are preserving these mysteries for future generations. Again, I told you in the beginning, there's some things that we know that the world doesn't understand. The world doesn't understand hope and peace and joy and eternal life. The world doesn't understand that. You have been given those things. And you are preserving those for future generations. How are the generations to come going to know about hope and peace and joy and the gospel of Jesus Christ? They're going to know it because you have been a good steward of the mystery of God. They're going to know it because you faithfully walked following after Jesus Christ. They're going to know it because you have been concerned about being a steward of the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ, understanding the Word of God and sharing it with others. That's why it's so important for you to know the gospel, for you to know the truths of the Word of God, because when you are learning that, you are actually preserving that for future generations. So that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and your children and your great-grandchildren and your great-grandchildren can know the gospel. They're going to know it because you have been a good steward of the mysteries of the gospel. I want you to get a hold of that. God has entrusted His mystery to you. So Paul understood the gift of being a steward. Jesus, in talking to His... Well, I'll just turn there pretty quickly. I got a few scriptures here. But in Matthew chapter number 13 and verse number 11, Jesus is going to tell the apostles this. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So what do we understand? To the apostles were given the ability to understand the things of the kingdom. But to those in the world, they didn't know. Get a hold of that today. To you have been given the ability to understand the mysteries. To many others, the world, they do not know. If you go back to 1 Corinthians and go to chapter number 2 and verse number 7, the apostles understood the mysteries were entrusted to them. When Paul said this, but we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So they understood that they had been entrusted to them and they were expected to teach these mysteries. And Paul had a great sense that this was his calling. Turn over the book of Colossians in chapter number 1. And I know I'm hurriedly turning to these passages, but I want you to understand that Paul understood. There you go, Mark. Colossians is after Philippians, not before. Colossians 1:25. Paul said this, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to him, to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The saints are to make known the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul understood this great calling that he had to be a steward of the gospel. Oh, we all need to get a hold of that. What a calling it is as a saint of God to be a steward of the mysteries of God, to be a steward of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to be able to minister to those who are lost with the truth of the gospel that has been given unto you. What a gift. As a church, we need to understand that we have the same calling to preserve the mysteries, even the manifold wisdom of God. And as we turn now to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 3, again, I'm just trying to get us a sense of understanding that as the church, we have this gift of being a steward. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." It is in the church that the manifold wisdom of God is to be made known. So God in His eternal purpose designed the church to be the dispensary of the truth of the mysteries of the gospel. And now as a member of one of His churches, God has made known unto you the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth that has been hidden down through the ages. You have been able to know and understand, and you have been given this gift of ministering the gospel. The church has the manifold wisdom of God, and it's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God is to be made known. And we need to get a hold of and grab a hold of what it means to be one of His churches and the place where the mysteries of the gospel can be made known. The church proclaims the unsearchable riches of Christ to make all men see the fellowship of the mystery, to understand the manifold wisdom of God. This mystery of God, the mystery of the gospel, is widely unknown today. The world has no idea of the eternal purposes of God in Christ Jesus. There are a few that do. Yet you understand. The world has no idea, listen, that the gospel brings unity. That's one of the purposes of in the book of Ephesians that Paul is writing to them, that they ought to be able to come together, and in Corinth, that they ought to be able to come together, that there's unity in the gospel. What the gospel does is put people together who have no other reason to be united together other than the gospel. In the Bible, we see the Jew and the Gentile, which were enemies, who hated one another, but yet in the church they come together, united together. You see people of all different kind of walks of life who come together only because of the church. Even here, we have Republicans and we have Democrats. And we might, our political views might be stand opposed to one another, but we can unify together in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We might have Baxters and anti-Baxters, But we come together in unity of Jesus Christ. We might have mask wearers and those who don't wear masks, but we come together in the unity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we could go on and on and on and think about the places where this world might bring division, whether it's socioeconomic status, whether it's whether we're our IQ or all kinds of different things that might separate us. But we come together. Why? In the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ unifies. And listen, our world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world needs the unity because our world is dividing. I talked to a political official this week who said that he's afraid that the political divide is so strong in our country that war is going to happen inside our borders. We are so divided today, and everyone has such strong opinions, and they want to make those opinions heard. And if you don't agree with me at every point, you're my enemy. That's so strong in our society. Our society needs the gospel because the gospel brings us together. But the world doesn't understand that. The world denies the presence of God. They only see Christians as spoilers of their fun. They view Christians as fanatical moralists. The world has no idea of the eternal purpose of God, of what He's doing in this world, and what He's going to accomplish in this world. And because they have no idea of the eternal purposes of God, that's why there's so much fear and anxiety in the world, because they don't understand. What is God doing today? They don't know. Yet as a Christian, you have been given the opportunity to know the eternal purpose of God. You've been given the opportunity to share the mystery of the gospel. You have light to shine in the present darkness. You have knowledge of what the future holds. You know the way, the narrow way, which leads to life everlasting. You have been given access to peace, and a peace that passes all understanding. At your disposal, in the Word of God, is the wisdom which comes from above. Not the wisdom that this world, but the wisdom that's from above is at your disposal. And God has given you an understanding of the mysteries of the gospel. He's given you the ability to view the world with a biblical worldview. You have so much that the world doesn't have. And I could go on and on and on and talk about all the benefits of understanding the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I just want you to think about all of those, and maybe you can think of some more. But now I want you to understand this. Be a minister of the mysteries. Paul said he was a minister of Christ and a steward of the mysteries. So all of this knowledge that you've been given, all of this peace and hope and joy, and all of this that has been put at your disposal, be a minister of that to the world. Use that, what is at your disposal, to be a steward of the manifold wisdom of God. As I have pondered this week, and I have thought about so many different ways that we as one of the churches have been given this gift of being a steward of the mysteries of God, and how the world has no concept and no idea, yet we know the eternal truths. I thought about what a gift we have, but I thought, I need to try to stir your hearts to understand what a gift you have. To stir your heart to be a minister of all of this truth. Because this world is crumbling around us. If we can stand steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that our hope is not in vain in the Lord, we can serve the Lord wholeheartedly and love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, because we understand the truths and the mystery of the gospel. And what a gift you have to share with those around you. A mystery. Why is it called a mystery? Why is it a mystery? Well, it's a mystery because it's all of grace. Think about this. Our society is built upon the principle, you work hard, you get success. You know, this is the land of the American dream. The American dream is, no matter what socioeconomic status you are from, that if you work hard enough, you can be successful. That's what the American dream is. No matter where you came from, you come here and you work hard and you dedicate yourself and you dedicate yourself and you can find success. That's what our society is built upon. We think you've got to earn it. But salvation is by grace through faith, and not out of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a mystery because it's all of grace. You didn't do anything to deserve it. Actually, you get it when you deserve death. Salvation by grace through faith goes against the principle of working to gain by paying your dues and paying for what you have. It's all by grace. That's why we can sing Amazing Grace, because we understand. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I understood. I deserve death. I understood. I deserve guilt and condemnation, but God has given me grace. We can talk about that forever also, couldn't we? But it's also a mystery because it displays mercy and long-suffering, two attributes that are virtually non-existent in our society today. Be merciful to someone, be long-suffering with them, be understanding of their position. You don't hear much of that today. Just go on social media and you say there's none of that. But it's full of mercy and long-suffering. It's a mystery because how does the gospel bring unity? It's a mystery because it justifies the unjust. And again, we could go on and on and on and talk about all these things, but it's a mystery because it's so contrary to what the world is. What is the mystery? God, the Holy One who created all things, the righteous judge, passed the sentence down of guilty and sent his son to pay the debt. The one who is guilty is worthy of death. And the judge sent his son to take upon himself that guilt and to die for the judgment of sin. It's a mystery how anyone could do that. It's a mystery that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. How could the judge give his son to die for the guilty? How could the one who knew no sin become sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? That's the gospel, and that's a mystery. How can that happen so that God can be just and a justifier of the ungodly? That's a mystery to this world. But that's what we find in the gospel. You've been made a steward of those mysteries, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now understand, what's required of you? 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Here's what's required of you as a steward of the mysteries of the gospel of Jesus Christ: to be faithful. To be faithful to him because he has redeemed you, and be faithful to be a steward of those mysteries by being a minister of those mysteries to others, by walking in the newness of life and sharing the gospel truth with so many others, and sharing peace and joy with others, being faithful as a child of God. So today, at one of the New Testament, Lord's New Testament Baptist Churches, we have been given the unsearchable riches of Christ. We have been taught how that promise of no condemnation has been given to those who come unto Christ. We have learned that the yoke of Christ is easy, right? Back in Matthew chapter number 11. The yoke of Christ is easy and his burden is light. Learning all these things, will we be good stewards of the mystery? Will you learn the mystery? Will you be faithful to his church? Will you be faithful to be a minister of the mystery? See, we need a faith today that's not in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. It's what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2:5. He says, that your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What you need today is a faith that's built upon the power of God. If you have that faith, then you can be a good steward of the mysteries. And some of you need faith today. Some of you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be saved. You need to come and understand, gain an understanding of the mystery of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you're a sinner, Jesus Christ came to save you. That's what we need today. Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, I pray that you will stir our hearts to understand what a gift we've been given, to be a steward of the mysteries of God, to be a minister of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you will stir our hearts both to love you more as we understand the mystery that we've been given, and God, to have a greater desire to share that gospel with others. Lord, we thank you for a love, joy, and peace, and hope that you have given unto us. And may we share with those with others. Show them the light so they don't need to walk in darkness any longer. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.